This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am with my co-host, who hopefully has brought his crystal ball with him today and hasn't broken it.
Ah, dang. I was going to say yes, but then you ended up breaking it, and I've been abusing the poor thing for so long now that there are some scratches and impurities in it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I somehow imagine that your crystal ball looks like the, what was that terrible superhero film? Was it Mystery Men, or the one which there was a superhero that had a bowling ball that had a skull in it?
I only watch good movies, I'm afraid.
Yeah, this wasn't that good a movie. I think it's a cult classic. Anyway, yeah, I always pictured your crystal ball would be like that. Definitely have a skull in it.
It's more of a magic eight ball, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well, it's Happy New Year. Not yet. Or Happy New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Although maybe Happy New Year by the time our listeners listen to this, if they don't enjoy the drop on New Year's Eve.
I'm sure everybody is just waiting with bated breath for the release of the podcast at 8 a.m. Amsterdam time every morning on Tuesday, and they just consume it immediately. That's just how it works.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll leave Jon in his little fantasy land there, and we'll move to a completely different fantasy land, which is, a bit of a prediction show. And we've done these in the past, but... You know, 2024, 2025, I don't think we can really do a prediction show without focusing on just what the heck we think AI will be doing next year / this year, depending on when you listen to this. Or maybe you're listening to this in the future and it was already happened and you can tell us how wrong we were. Or maybe you've time traveled back and this would be incredibly useful to you. Probably not. So yeah, predictions, Jon. Artificial intelligence, what on earth is it going to be up to in 2025? What do you say?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would do is go to ChatGPT and ask, what will AI do in 2025? Which I just did.
Yeah.
And it gave me text soup.
Nice.
So, as always, AI failed us miserably, and we're going to have to use our own intelligence. And we did a lot of preparation for this one. We just spent like 5 minutes before starting recording with putting a little bullet list together,
mm-hmm.
not looking at each other's lists. And my first one is a obvious one. More money will be made. Lots of money will be made. All the monies will be made, and it will be good for some and pretty bad for most.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair. So I was talking about this with someone who was talking about like pricing and budgets and kind of, you know, talking about things getting difficult when there's recessions and financial crises and things like that. And I reminded them that it's not just things like that that kind of threaten budgets. Other things that threaten budgets include someone wanting to do something else more importantly than the thing that you want done. So, for example, if I think we're going to see a lot of big... You know, organizations kicking off big generative AI projects next year, if they haven't already. And those are going to be expensive. And that money has to come from somewhere. And I predict that we're going to see a bunch of other things being squeezed to make money, to make enough budget for these AI things so that, as you say, these companies can make the money that they are desperately seeking.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be kind of an evolution from the pilot projects of this year that were based on a lot of hype in a lot of cases, not delivering and people not wanting to face up to the fact that AI isn't magic. It's just, oh, we were doing it wrong. We need to do it with this new stuff, whatever, which is going to be bigger and greater and cost more money. And that will inevitably, have to cannibalize other projects, sadly. Yeah. And
even if those projects might actually be more useful or more valuable.
Yes, definitely. I mean, just look from the other point of view, the customer experience that I have with companies today is miserable. And it's driving me away from big, well-known names. I mean, this is maybe a good thing for AI, local forwarding, as it's called sometimes, looking at local, smaller business to do stuff becomes more appetizing because big companies have always been these faceless, nameless behemoths that you can hardly connect anymore. Now, in the EU, there was always legislation that there should be an email address or a contact form or something like that on their websites. Those are now being replaced entirely by AI bot things, whatevers. And I mean, just recently, I've got a Samsung phone at the moment and battery was swollen. So I'll under warranty, I'll log a thing. It took me a month and a half to get an appointment that they didn't cancel for some reason. And there was no way to talk to a human person. And my stance today is I'm not going to buy a Samsung anymore. It just, and I'm not saying that the other companies are better. I mean, Sony, OnePlus, whatever, it's probably going to be the same crap everywhere. But this is not making me a loyal customer at all. Yeah. And I think in the future, I mean, maybe jumping ahead a little bit, that one of the things we'll see is that customer experiences for companies that actually care about humans. And of course they don't care, but still need to care because they're not that big behemoth yet and they have to have a good profile, will actually become more popular with people because the human touch, as they call it, will become much more important. And that's where the money expenditure will be very wrong for a lot of big companies that aren't seeing this yet.
Yeah, the whole customer experience side looks like at the moment it's going to hell in a handbasket. I've certainly had similar experiences where, you know, more and more of the customer service elements of organizations are replaced with automated systems, bots, you know, whatever, and the experience has generally been terrible. Not great.
There's two ways that can go, right? I mean, on the one hand, it can make it very prescriptive, which usually for a UI is what you need to do. You have to give a list of choices. And for my bad battery, that wasn't a choice. So I had to select general, which was the start of all the problems. The thing that they want to do now with AI is, okay, let's make it free text, full text, anything, natural language. But then it's totally unpredictable. And that's how aircraft companies or flight companies need to pay back tickets because AI said I could get my money back. So that's also getting restricted again. So I see AI making a lot of people more unhappy next year, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, on the making more people unhappy, one of my predictions is I think we will see longer form content being created. You know, at the moment, you know, documents are fairly easy for AI to current kind of state AI to generate fairly easily. Images are getting in a better state, I would say. You can, a variety of image generative AI creation software exists, or models exist, I should say, that to a greater or lesser extent, you can generally create something that has the look and feel that you want. But I think video is where we will see next year some significant advancements. You know, we're seeing, you know, couple of minute long videos now is sort of roughly the current state of play for most of the technology in this space. It would not surprise me if by the end of next year, by the end of 2025, I don't know, 15, 20 minute videos possibly, or even maybe even longer than that, are commonplace. Like entirely generative AI created content is, you know, is commonplace on platforms like YouTube, or will become commonplace on platforms like YouTube, for example. And to not necessarily counter that, but to allow people to deal with that, there will also be not so much a backlash against it, but there will be a lot of additional filters added to allow you to, you know, either opt in or opt out from that content. I think it will, and to finish that train of thought, I think that it will be a continual battle between those creating this content trying to get around the detection that their stuff is generative AI, and the providers, you know, trying to find new ways to not necessarily filter out the content, but allow users to view, select to see that content, or select not to see that content, opt not to see that content. I think that whole kind of long form video content is going to start becoming a reality next year.
It's definitely going to become a problem, because for other long form content like books, that's already happening, music as well, because there's a bunch of AI generated horribleness released on Spotify. If you look, I have a Kindle, so if I look on the Kindle library, there's a bunch of AI drivel that is only there to, mostly what these people think about is, well, for Spotify it's easy, it's a subscription, so if I hit one of those bad songs, I'll skip it and I don't care about it. And for the Kindle things or ebooks in general, these things cost like, I don't know, $1. If you buy it for $1 and you see that it's very bad, you're not gonna ask for your money back. I mean, that dollar, it's more effort anyway. But if this happens 100,000 times, that book writer who has 1,000 of these books on the bookstores, they make a lot of money. So video at the moment is very resource intensive yet, so that hasn't happened yet, but that will definitely be the next thing they will go for. Now, what I disagree with you is when you said filters will become in place, because a Spotify, a YouTube, an Amazon web shop has no interest in blocking that. And if you look at Google, YouTube, they have proven that that is not their interest at all, because they are actively now blocking any kind of ad blocking.
But I think that they will have to. I think not that there will be, well, maybe not. I don't know. But I think that if they don't, there will be such a backlash.
Yes, but what's the alternative? Just take YouTube, for instance, because we're on YouTube. Take YouTube. Yep. Let's say I am fed up with YouTube. At the moment, I'm using Brave as a browser, which blocks most of the ads automatically, so I don't even need an ad blocker. I've got a pie hole running, so I am pretty safe in that. I don't really care how much. But let's say I don't, and I have the normal customer experience, which is horrible, by the way. From time to time, I have to use somebody else's computer, and if I then see what I'm missing, quote unquote, I would really want to not use YouTube anymore. But what's the alternative? And if you say it's going to get so bad that an other company will spring up to fill that void, very possible, they will have the same motivation.
Yeah. And so it certainly won't be in the next year, that's for sure.
No, and I think people are getting used to all of this and kind of given up complaining about it. It's just what it is. I mean, we all went away from cable TV towards these streaming services. Why? because, well, I don't want the free TV with all the ads. I'm going to pay every month extra for this streaming channel to get ad-free streams. Today, what's happening? Advertising being added, and now you have the extra VIP subscription to do less advertising. Not no advertising. No. You need advertising in your life. It's just people are used to it at this point. And the only hope I have is that we stop consuming mass market stuff in general, basically, and look more internally. I mean, in the olden days, you had the minstrel coming to your little town singing his songs, and he didn't have ads for Burger King, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, dear. It's a bleak, bleak picture that you paint, that's for sure.
Well, it's bleak on one end, but on the other hand, we should also be grateful for it, because I use Google Maps a lot. I cannot imagine my life without Google Maps anymore, and I fully understand that Google Maps needs to be paid somehow. And that's going to be the big conundrum in the future, in the next couple of years. How much rubbish are we happy to put up with, so that we still have the good things that come out of it? I think the solution there will be that something like a Google Maps will become more of a commodity. At the moment, Google Maps is, and the Apple Maps and the Open Street View, there's only a couple of them out there, because it's still not bleeding edge high tech anymore, but it still requires some kind of background in that area. But I wouldn't be surprised that for those kind of things, open source, I'm not saying free, I'm saying open source culture environments, alternatives will pop up, which will not be as good. I mean, they won't be populating my Google Maps at all the McDonald's location automatically, which would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. But for those things, I think that will become useful, or there will be other things. And like Waze, I think, is also an alternative that is a subscription-based service if you want it. So there are ways of doing those things. But that's going to be a change. I mean, one way or the other, you pay for stuff, and if you're not paying it through advertising and AI-driven advertising, I know we have now in the Netherlands first tests with personalized advertising on the streaming. So they're going to just interrupt your movie series you're looking at to have targeted advertisement for you now, opt-in, luckily in Europe. But I've seen some concepts where they're actually using AI to do product placement, but dynamic product placement. I mean, we all have you probably know this, but in Demolition Man, there's the whole Pizza Hut versus Taco Bell controversy that the sponsoring fell through and they had to change, and it's horrible in the movie. They fixed it very badly. But what the apparently now can do is just when the movie goes and the character picks up a soda can somewhere, if you're watching it, it's going to be Coca-Cola. If I'm watching it, it's going to be Pepsi or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Just on the fly. And that kind of hidden advertisement in long format, video format, that's going to be a very sneaky one that you have to be careful for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know there's too much that I disagree with there. Like it does feel like unfortunately, it does feel like a very natural progression. Yeah. Okay. Next prediction. Where do you go next?
Let's see. Well, you talked about the magic dying a bit, so let's skip that one. Let's go for the commoditization. It will be much more a commodity, and I think the term AI will start disappearing from things. Because at the moment we have, blockchain. We had the same thing happening when a company just changed their name to blockchain and stock went up tenfold. At the moment, this is being done with AI. Everything is AI. The new AMD CPUs are now AI somethings. It's horrible. I think in next year, people will get fed up with that. Everything will be AI. So putting AI in front of your product name will not be differentiating anymore. So people will move away from that very blatant branding misuse of AI terms. So AI will just become part of something expected in things to be present, but it's still not going to do anything really useful.
Mm.
Yes, it will be able to, with AI, change the icon colors on my phone to match the background I chosen for this day, which is cool. It's kind of cute. It's kind of fun. Is it useful? No. And most of the commoditized AI that I see today, and I expect to see in the next year, will kind of suffer that same thing going on. Fortunately, it won't be so much AI anymore. It's just going to be in there. And hopefully that way it's going to lose its, not importance, but its ever-presence, if that's a word, if not it is now, in my life.
Mm. Let's see, is there anything I disagree with there? Probably not. I mean, one of the points that you made when you were noting this down was that not only would commoditization be something, but also that you're not really expecting anything new to occur. And that I'm not sure about.
I'll go even further than that. Up to today, we have not seen anything new. We've seen different ways of doing the same.
That's fair.
But AI has not done anything new.
Yeah. And, by
the
way, fair.
When we talk about AI now, we talk about the generative AI, the LLMs, ChatGPTs, right?
Yeah. No, I think I'm with you on that.
I'm still waiting for a killer app for AI.
Mm.
Copilots were the one that came up first. All the companies I know that started with developers using Copilot in Visual Code, for example, have stopped doing that because of copyright issues and plain bad code. And again, that was the one place that I could see AI really being a killer app, because there's a lot of code online. You had the GitHub repositories, and code on GitHub is typically okay, especially if you focus on the bigger projects. There's a lot of peer review there, so that code should be, I mean, don't go to Stack Exchange and things like that. There's good code there as well, but there's also a lot of bad code there, because it's not code that's being used, but there's a good background, but even that didn't make it. And all the other things, I know inside our company as well, we have GPT kind of services to help people find stuff.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, well, next prediction, and this one's mine. I think we will probably see AI being responsible for a major security breach next year. I was going to say I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet, but I don't think AI has been given quite enough control yet, and I think that's what will start to happen next year. Whether intentionally or not, I think with the larger projects that you were talking about earlier being done, you know, people have done a bunch of proof of concepts this year, they start rolling things out into production next year, and there will be a bunch of unforeseen circumstances that will arise that will cause things for at least one unlucky organization to end up with some security egg on their face as something backfires fairly horribly.
I would agree, but I would change your statement a little bit and say that AI will be responsible for a major security breach that is made public next year. Because I think it's already happened. They just haven't found it yet.
Oh, possibly. I don't know. I don't know whether, as I said earlier, I don't know whether people have granted AI quite enough permissions yet to be
doesn't have to, because if you look at the phishing and spam that's being sent already, that's very much AI driven, and AI can easily be used to dynamically obfuscate things. Because that's one thing that AI is actually is very good at, is just being plumped in an unknown environment and adapt things around it. And as AI has been a big part of most antivirus in the last couple of years, but that's a rule-based engine where you can just put some AI machine learning on top to make that better. The other side, to counter those rules, that was a lot harder. And GenAI does make that easier. And I do think that the intrusion is still going to be partially the classic ways. You need to have somebody put their password in a public web on a phishing website or something like that. But the phishing websites themselves will be more and more built by AI for two reasons. One, as I said, the adaptability, flexibility to just see how it to really work with the person you're targeting. And the second one is the amount of that will be created. Because if you still have to create a website yourself, and even if it's just clicking a button and putting a name and a thing in there, it's still effort. And if you have to do that 1,000 times, that takes a couple of days, so people don't do that. Now, actually, it is already been, I've read an article, I don't have it at hand here, but apparently a bunch of AI generated web shops are being popped up around Black Friday this year. And those were purely phishing sites. And the reason they could do that is they just said AI, go on the website, find all the major retailers, make a name that sounds like it, make a URL, and make a website for it. And it's just the way that you can automate how these things work that for me are going to be the main impact on security. It's going to get harder and harder. And especially with, again, Google's doing things like hiding the URL bar. I don't think they actually did it in the end, but there was a big plan that URLs should not be visible anymore. This is now the only way you can somewhat know that you're actually on the website that you thought you were. In emails, before I click a link, I use Thunderbird, I always mouse over it, and then in the little status bar, look, what is the URL I'm going to? And does that make kind of sense? I will never use a browser that doesn't show me URLs, ever.
Mm. Yeah. this is bringing up another topic, actually, that I was going to go into, but I think we are probably at a point where we should conclude this episode and perhaps continue the topic next week. What do you think?
What do you mean with all the negative things now in the old year, and then next week we'll have all the positive things coming? Wait and see. We'll see. I make no promises. but yes, that is all the time we have for today and all the time we have for this year. You can only say that once every 52 weeks, so I thought, why not?
Fair enough.
You can support this podcast, you can become a patron, keep us alive next year, give a little contribution, and we will be there on the, well, not the 1st of January, but I guess the 7th or something like that. I would have to look at my calendar, I don't know. We're on YouTube, hit the like button, subscribe button, notification bells. You know how YouTube works. For the moment, we'll see how it works next year, but still, we can use it today the way it's supposed to work. And you can go to our website at theroaringelephant.org. There's links there to all the stuffs and information about podcasts. And you can send your feedback to our email address at podcast@theroaringelephant.org. Give us your information, it's not your information, your feedback, what you want us to talk about. Anything is welcome, and we definitely read every email. Until next time, my name is Old Man Jon.
And my name is Crystal Balls Dave.
I look forward to talk to you again next year. Goodbye.
See you then.